With Siyata Deshmaya and her Hoda'at to Hashem that we're able to resume, we are going to finish off the last couple of chapters of the second section of Arishor. Today we're going to do chapter 22 of the second section on page Kuf Yud Aleph, which is on Birkas HaNe'anim. Then we're going to skip Tefillah because where's Hashem, we're going to be discussing ideas in Tefillah and the Tefillah Vaz that's starting this week or next week. And then we're going to have one on Kavod and one on Ratzon, each of which will take one or two times. And then we're going to move on to the new section. So Baruch Hashem, we're just feeling that Yad Hashem, they were able to get this far. So on page Kuf Yud Aleph, the Arishor, before he gets into his what he wants to say about brachos, he just goes through the first six words of any bracha that you make. And he says a basic intention that one can have in order to daven with Kavanah. So it starts Baruch. And there's two different interpretations about what Baruch means, and he brings the Nefesh HaChaim's interpretation, which on a simple level is Atahu Mekor Kol Ribui HaBrachot VaHashpot. We're saying Baruch, we're not blessing Hashem. He's not lacking in that he needs blessing. Rather, we are recognizing that he is the source of all the blessing that comes to the world. Baruch, you are the one from where all the blessing comes from. The same way as we call Hashem Rachum and Chanun, doesn't mean that he is in his own place, but rather he gives us rachamim. He gives us chanan. He relates to us in that way. So to the word Baruch is that he's relating to us by giving us all the influence of getting to all the brachas. So by saying the word Baruch, basic mindset is, I recognize Hashem that you're the source of where all the blessing comes from. So if you're holding a fruit in your hand and you start with the word Baruch, you're recognizing that this particular thing that I'm having now is a blessing that I'm partaking of in the world. And I recognize Hashem that you are the source of where this blessing comes from. And then we turn to Hashem in second person. I don't know if I can say person, but Hashem. In second person, Guf Sheni, and we say Ata, which is unique because people today are careful not even to call their rabbi you. Right? But when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's interesting because to a parent, you would say you. Right? You don't say, would my father like more tea? You say to your father, dad, would you like more tea? Right? So sometimes where there's a sense of reverence, but with a distance, then we relate with a third person. But when there's a reverence together with closeness, then we say you. So, ata, ponim el Hashem benochach. We relate to Hashem in second person. In this world, we're not relating to Hashem's essence. That we would not be allowed to say you. But rather, we're relating to whatever happens to be making on a bracha right now. Pokeach ivrim, and I'm aware that I'm able to open my eyes. So what I'm noticing is I'm noticing Hashem's expression in the world. And that I'm able to say that was you, Hashem. That was you. I can't point to Hashem and say you when I'm talking about Hashem's essence. That's beyond me. That's distant. But when I'm noticing something in the world which Hashem has given, because I elonos we recently made, and I notice that Hashem has brought renewal to the world, to the nature. I said, this is your doing, Hashem. And I turn to Hashem and I say you. Ata Hashem. The world, I can see the world, I can see you expressed in the world. I want to be connected to you. And therefore I turn to you, panim el panim, and I say, Hashem, I recognize this comes from you, and this comes from you, and this comes, everything I'm recognizing is coming from Hashem. That's Baruch Ata. And then we say Hashem. And we say it in a different way than we pronounce it. The way that it's written is that Hashem is above time. Hayahu ve'vihiyeh is one point. That He's above time. We are bound by time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not bound by time. And we see things as divided up. Hashem is not divided. What was in the past and what is right now will be in the future. To Hashem is all the same. A little bit like if we're sitting in this room and there's someone sitting in the next room and someone sitting in the third room, so to us, all three rooms are separate places. But if someone's standing outside and they look in the windows, right, they can at one moment see what's going on in all three rooms. Right? But we all say, what do you mean? I'm in this room. Who can see that room? No, but he can see from the windows. He can see all three rooms. So we're past, that's present, that's future. Because Baruch Hu's outside and he can look on at each of the distant times. But it also means Mahaveh Sako. Not just that he's aware of what's going on in all three time zones, but rather HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's constantly willing it into creation. That's what Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey means, Mahaveh HaKol. All the worlds are like a dream that Hashem is having. In the same way as when you have a dream, there's an entire world going on inside of your dream. Someone's asking you for a banana, and you're giving them a banana, and they're making a bracha, and then they slip on the banana. A whole scene is going on inside of your dream. But really, it's all in your mind. It's not a real thing. I mean, it is real, but it's real in your mind. So to all the events that are going on in this world are all batel to Hashem. They're all happening in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's thought. When you say Hashem's name, the awareness that you come to is everything is within Hashem. It's not that there's Hashem and there's me and the two separate things. Even me thinking about Hashem is all part of Hashem. Just like in the same way Hashem is having a dream about us taking place. In fact, right now, isn't this funny? I'm sitting in this room and you're sitting here in this room and I have a book open and there's a tape recorder taking place. This is all within Hashem's thoughts. We are existing. If Hashem would think that I'm no longer worthy of this world, whoop, I'll disappear. And I won't no longer be here. Now, you don't see it in that way because the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to work within nature that things will look natural so that you'll still have free choice. But the fact that any of us are here right now is because right at this moment that Kodesh Baruch Hu was willing us into existence. That's when you say Shem Hashem, you're thinking of the concept of that Kodesh Baruch Hu is constantly willing us into existence. Kavanah zot kolelet hitbatlut gemura lefne Hashem. When you think of that, you're thinking that there's nothing in the world apart from Hashem. Even I am absolutely absorbed in Hashem's name. This deep kavanah of Hashem filling the whole world, we only really have on a deep level when we say Shema. That's when it's essential to have it. You can have it in every bracha, but it's ma'akev to have it in the bracha of Shema Yisrael. Now, the way we pronounce it is Adon Hakol, that Hashem is the master of everything, and that's a kavanah that we have standard day to day, that all the higher things in the world, I mean like angels and things, or you know, like people who are running the world seemingly, people who are like leaders in this world and have a big influence, and all the smallest things in the world which seem to us insignificant, and we trample upon them, they're all emanating from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Adon Hakol, He's in charge of everything. So saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, the basic essence that you're thinking, basic that you're thinking is, everything is part of Hashem. Everything is absorbed in Hashem. Everything emanates from Hashem. It's all Hashem. And then you say Elokeinu. When you say Elokeinu, taking a bit of a different direction. There's two things in the word Elokeinu. There's the name Elokim, and there's Elokeinu, which is personal. Right? We don't say Hashem Elokim, we say Elokeinu. But we are saying Elokim, the name Elokim. So, the name Elokim by itself means Bala Kochot Kulam. Hashem is overseeing the world, He's watching the world, He's involved in the world. Meaning if you would just stay on the name Hashem, you could think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so awesome and so above and so beyond that He's involved in everything, that He is not relevant to me and doesn't care about me as an individual, is not involved in my life on a personal level. And therefore it's essential to have the name Elokim. Because Elokim means Hashem is absolutely involved in everything on every level. He's Mashgiach, even though He's so great. He's watching over everything and involved in the world and everywhere. There's nothing happening inside this world outside of Hashem's jurisdiction. Not only does He create it, but He's involved in it. Elokim. But then when we say Elokeinu, we're getting personal. And we're talking about Elokeinu in plural, we're talking about Am Yisrael, and we're saying that we're talking about Hashkocha Pratis. Hashem is involved and He has a special affinity towards us. Mashal Lemaha Davadome. Imagine you have some massive theme park. And there's long lines. And then and it's like your school's day to come to this theme park. You know, but you're going to be spending roughly 8 hours on the line and roughly 20 seconds on each ride. So of your whole day, it's roughly a minute on rides and nine hours on line. Now that's roughly how the fun of Chol HaMoed and school, that's what it is. So now what happens? You get to the theme park, but then as it turns out, that there's the school that you particularly come from, right? So the person who built the school and run and loves the school and is involved in the school, he owns the theme park. He happens to own the theme park. And when he hears that his school is coming, he's so excited. You get a special green pass, green card. And this green card is one that can skip lines. Just by the way, in brackets, in Israel, if you're over 80 years old, you can skip lines. It's a thing. It's a thing. Over 80 years old, you get a pass from the government that you can skip lines. My father never used it. He never used it, but recently he was on the line for something. I don't know what he was on the line for. And he said, okay, this is my chance. It was a really long line. And he took it out and he said, excuse me, I have a green pass. I was like, is that a thing? And look, it says here from the government of Israel, if you're over 80, and then he walks forward. Like, what are you doing? I have a pass. Showed everyone. Not to be a chil Hashem. Showed them. Pass. Okay, I guess it's a thing. They let him in. And he went forward. So you come to this theme park and you have the green pass. And you can go up right to my right, and again and again. You look at this. So you go up to the front of the ride, you do the ride 20 seconds, you go back to the beginning of the line, and you can just do it again and again. Elokeinu doesn't just mean that He runs the whole world. It means that He has an affinity for us. Am Yisrael is in this world, and He loves us, and He cares for us. Meaning He's running the whole world. He has an agenda. His agenda is bringing it towards Yom HaMashiach. He has an agenda. But we're a primary part in His agenda. He loves us. And therefore, anything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do in the world, all His running of the world, He's always going to put Am Yisrael in that central role. To say, like, these are my people. They're mine. I built the school. I love these people. They're my people. I'm going to give them the green pass. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Sometimes because we're His people, we get more responsibility. And if we get more responsibility, we're held accountable much more. Because we're His people. But it means that he cares and he's looking into us. And so the name Elokeinu, on the one hand, means Hashem's intimately involved. It's Ashkacha Protis. He cares, he knows, he's involved in the world. And also he loves us and he cares for us. We're his people. That's what you say every time you make a bracha, which is 100 a day. 100 of these a day. Every time you say Elokeinu, you're thinking Hashem's running the world and he cares about Am Yisrael. So we got Shem Hashem, which is the Hashem's, everything was within Hashem. It's all within Hashem. There's nothing that exists independently outside of Hashem. And then not only is it all within him, but he could be distant, but he's involved and he loves us and he cares about us. Elokeinu. So if you want to just say the whole thing in one phrase, Hashem makes everything, he runs everything, and he loves us. He's involved with us. Okay, now we get, that was the first four words. Now the last two words of a bracha are Melech HaOlam. Malchuto Yitbarach Nekeret Bezeh Sheyesh Olam Ve'umot HaOlam Asher Gam Aleihem U'Sholet. On the one hand, we said Hashem loves us and he cares for us, but he's king over the whole world. Now, if he wouldn't be king over the whole world and he'd care for us, that's like you have your father, and of course he loves you because what else is he doing? I mean, he doesn't run everything. He's involved in you because he's involved in you. You're his kid. But if it would be the guy who runs the entire theme park and all the schools that come and everyone that comes, he's in charge of them. But when you come, he brings you in, then that's something special. You're not just doing it because you're my dad and, you know, you're responsible for me. Like you're going to be arrested if you don't feed me. You have to. Like you're my dad. But rather, no, I run everything. The whole world is under my jurisdiction. Melech HaOlam. That makes it more of a chiddush. That he cares about you. I could have cared about them. I could have been involved in it, many other things. Do you know how much I could be involved in? But I'm involved in you because you're precious to me. And I care specifically about you. So it strengthens the Elokeinu by saying Melech HaOlam. Hashem's expressed by the fact that he's involved in everything in the world. He runs the whole world. He's in charge of the whole world. That Am Yisrael are banim laHashem. For us, we're his special children. We're precious to him. LaHashem umelech betoch banav adayin lo nekeret malchuto. And it upsets us that Hashem is not revealed in the world as being the melech. And therefore, we're going to take responsibility for that. And we're going to be his nation. And we're going to teach about this. We're going to say this phrase every day. Hashem is the melech olam. We're going to teach the world. Hashem hu haMelech. Hashem is the one running the world. We're going to go out and say that message. And when we go out and do something good in the world, and someone says, wow, you're amazing, we're going to attribute it back to Hashem. We're going to say, thank God that it went well. Thank God, I thought you did it. Yeah, but I got my strength. And that's what Avram Avinu did. Avram Avinu, everyone who came to his tent, and he offered them food, and they said, thank you. And he said, it's not me, it's really coming from God. I remember once, the first time I got this message, it was when I was... Shana Aleph, I was going out for Shabbos, and the days when you could, and it's come back, you can go out for Shabbos. You could go out for Shabbos. And I went down to the junction, and there was someone who like stopped to give us a ride. And I said, thank you very much, I really appreciate it. So he said, oh, it's not my car, don't worry. And I thought he meant like it's a company car, and the gas is on the company. Like it doesn't, it's like he's not paying for the gas, like the company's paying for the gas. And I said, oh, like who's paying for the gas? He goes, no, it's God's car, I'm just driving it. And I burst out laughing. I said, like, why is that funny? It's actually true. Like, and it hit me, you know, when you're wearing something's like kitsch, but then suddenly you're like, no, actually it's not, this is real. And like, that was the first time the idea really like sunk within me deeply. And I didn't say neither, but I said to myself, when I get a car, Be'ez Hashem, I'm going to make it a mitzvah car. And it's going to be a car which anyone I can pick up, I'm going to pick up, and I'm going to use it to go to the gamach, and I'm going to lend it to people who want to use the car to lend it to, tell how mitzvah. And we bought a car many years later. And I called it Mazda the Mitzvah Machine. Because it's a Mazda. We still have it, Baruch Hashem. So it makes a lot of noise when it drives into Kiryat Arba. Everyone knows that, so we've come home. Because it rattles tremendously. But it's, you know how many mitzvahs that's clocked? It's like so much has been involved in that car just to do good. And it was from that guy. It was that one guy who gave me that lift at one time. When he said, it's not my car, it's God's car. And it planted that seed in my mind. I said, B'li Nezer, when we get a car, I'm going to use it as much as I can to help people, to do good with other people. Melech HaOlam, that's our Jewish people's message in the world, our mission. So we're declaring all the good that we do is really a conduit that we are to express Hashem in the world. And then he adds one more point. Kodesh Brichu v'Yisrael Chadu. Hashem and Am Yisrael are one, meaning he's expressed through us. The way that Hashem is recognized in this world is through how we behave. L'chein Elokeinu Einu Malchut El Hashem. When we say Elokeinu, it's not yet fully expressing Hashem in the world. Malchuto yitbarach yitgale betoch haolam hazeh shegam teva vagam umot haolam einam mitziut atzmit ela kol avadecha. the full expression of Hashem will be in the world when we are doing God's will. We're not yet fully doing God's will. We don't yet have a Beis HaMikdash. We're not yet fully fulfilling our role. We're doing the best we can within the current situation. But when will Melech HaOlam be fully expressed? When Am Yisrael are a full moon. I'll explain what I mean. You know, it says that there's a sun and there's a moon. The sun shines light and the moon reflects the light. When the moon is small, then it doesn't reflect the light fully. When the moon grows and grows and grows and it gets to a full moon, it's fully reflecting God's light. Chazal say that Hashem is like the sun and Am Yisrael are like the moon. And that when we are able to be full, a full moon, we're able to fully reflect Hashem's light in the world. And that's our mission. Hashem's light is always shining. The sun's light is always there. Right? But how much can you see of it in the moon? It depends how big the moon is, or you know, the angle that it's facing. So when Am Yisrael are fully able to reflect God's light, then we're fulfilling our mission in the biggest way. So Elokeinu is our God. He's looking to us. Jewish people, I cannot be expressed in the world unless you spread my name. Unless you attribute all you do back to me. And we're saying a bracha, we're reinforcing that belief. Melech HaOlam, Hashem, I recognize that you're the king of the world, and it's through me saying this bracha right now to bring you a bit closer to be recognized as Melech HaOlam. And then he adds the word Boreh. Boreh is in present tense, it's also past tense. He created in the past, also right now he's creating. This is right now is existing through him. Briah Yesh Me'ayin. The word Briah always means that it came from nothing, as opposed to Yetzirah. Briah means nothing, meaning everything that I see now, even if I see that it came from a tree, and the tree came from a seed, and the seed came from a previous tree, but I recognize that ultimately it all emanates from Hashem. It all came from His first creation that He made in the beginning. So that was his just going through the bracha, and I recommend reviewing this page. It's on page Kuf Yud Aleph, 101. Reviewing this page a number of times until it becomes kind of second nature. That's the way you think. Now, it's no guarantee that you've read this. You'll think of it every time you make a bracha. But it is that when you think that you want to have kavana bracha, at least you have what to think. I mean, sometimes you don't think because you're distracted. That's one thing. But what about when you want to have kavana? What do you do then? Right? So you have to have that you understand the perush, at least on a basic level, what it is that when you choose to have kavana, I want to have kavana now. I want to say it slowly and think about it. What am I thinking? So here he's given you and laid out for you a basic, what does a bracha mean? And then he brings this famous Rashi on the Chumash. It says that when Moshe Rabbeinu came to do the 10 plagues, so the first two, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't do, Aharon did in his place. And Rashi says, why? Because the first two were by the river, the blood and the frogs, or according to Rav Aaron Friedman, the crabs. So, and if it's been raised as a gadam. Anyway, so the Yor, Moshe Rabbeinu, he had once benefited from it. He had been hidden there, and it saved his life. So he couldn't do it. Aaron did it in his place. And then it came time for the third plague, and again, it wasn't Moshe, it was Aaron, because the dust of the earth once saved Moshe Rabbeinu. It hid the Mitzri. And because it hid the Mitzri, it saved Moshe's life. He couldn't do a plague against the earth. And Rashi says, this comes to teach you Derech Eretz, that if something once benefited you, you don't harm it in return. And the Alishur says, what's going on here? We're not talking about someone who has emotions. We're not talking about someone who's like, you offended me, I did a good thing for you, and now you're betraying me. We're talking about earth. It's not even the same earth. it's a different area entirely. I don't know if it was the same area of the Nile, but it's probably not even the same area of the Nile where he was hidden as a baby. Like, what is this idea of like someone who has no emotions and you're coming and being sensitive to it? She says the Alishur, Ein zeh chashuv klal. When you're coming to express gratitude, it's not for them. It's not important whether they need it or they even know about it. It's important that you have generated within yourself a feeling of hakaras hatov. You know, often at home, like someone does something good for us, whatever it is, you know, someone gave us a bottle of wine. Right? So we're drinking the wine, and as we're drinking the wine, I say to my kids, thank you too, grandma, whatever, that she gave us this nice bottle of wine. And so early on, before my kids got what was going on, they go, but she's not here. I go, I know, but thank to her. She says, but she can't hear you. Says, doesn't matter, you can still thank her if she's not here. But what do you mean? Like, phone her and thank her. I did that as well. But right now we're benefiting from it. Thank you, Grandma Gloria, for giving us this nice bottle of wine that we're benefiting from. Because the gratitude is not, of course it's for them as well. You should say to them too, don't they? Don't think, okay, it's not about you, I'm never going to thank you, I'll just do it in my own way. Of course you thank them directly and you let them know as well. But Hakaras HaTov is about generating your Hakaras HaTov muscle. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu is not relevant whether the earth can feel or whether the water knows it. It's not about the earth or the water. Hakaras HaTov is about us developing Hakaras HaTov. Harei gam legabe mayim v'chol, yesh litnaheg v'Hakaras HaTov. Va'ala chumra shebechumros, mitzvos kibud av ve'em, kotev achinuch ki shorsha Hakaras HaTov. Even kibud av ve'em, which applies even after a parent died. The depth of it, the reasoning behind it, is Hakaras HaTov. Ki mida zuhi mishorshe adam. This is the essence of man. Essence of man is Hakaras HaTov. You go all the way back to the beginning of Adam and Chava. And it says, what was the sin of Adam? If you look in Rashi, what was the sin of Adam HaRishon? Kan kafar betova. Hashem was willing to forgive him for eating. Hashem was willing to forgive him for that. But when he said, it was the woman who gave it to me, that you sent, this woman, your God, it's your fault. You. Rashi says, kan kafar betova. Until then, God was willing to open with him. Ayeka, where are you? You can still do tshuva. The moment that he says, it was the woman that you gave it to. Now, then immediately after that comes the curse. Why? Because he was kofar betova. I think from God's perspective, us developing within ourselves the midah of Hakaras HaTov is the essence of who we are. It's our primary trait, being able to recognize good, not for them, but for ourselves. You have holy people who they themselves don't even need the Hakaras HaTov, but because they're mechanchim, it's important for them to bring out within the child the sense of saying thank you. You're teaching your children to say thank you. What, you need it? This mother needs it? She needs it? No, not that the mother needs it, but she needs to invest in her children that they develop a sense of Hakaras HaTov. Kol ha-kofer b'tovato shel chavero, b'sof kofer b'tovato shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If a person doesn't generate within himself gratitude and recognition that others have done good for him, he won't sense it with Hashem. It's an amazing thing. It's unfortunate, but on the other hand, it's very beneficial. The way you relate to Hashem emanates from the way you relate to other people. That's unfortunate because if you don't have good training in this world, then you won't be able to develop a good relationship with Hashem. But on the hand, it's very beneficial because then if you want to relate to Hashem, it's easy. Hashem is not easy. he's esoteric, out there. I don't know how you relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're not even allowed to say His name. But it's easy for me to work on Hakaras HaTov towards people. I can just go and thank them. I'll just recognize the good that people have done for me and I'll go and say thank you to you. Know, there's an amazing thing. There's a guy out there, he's a Jewish guy. He's an expressionist Yiddish guy, but he is Jewish. And he's into happiness. His whole philosophy of life and his message to the world is happiness. And one of the ways that he encourages people to bring out joy, and it's brilliant, I recommend everyone does this. He writes about it, I've heard him say it as well. He says that, think in the past of someone who's done something good for you, that really, really helped you and like put you on your path in life or gave you a hashkafa. Like in my case, I would say that guy who gave me that lift in that car, I don't know who he was, I don't know his name. I don't know how I'd find him again. Right? But that's an example of someone who like gave me a thought that really helped me for my life. Something like that. Someone who you met somewhere along the way and they planted a seed, they gave you a thought that really like kind of, in some way, I don't know, your whole life was changed, but in some way you have a good ashkafa, a good outlook now. And then did you ever go to them and tell them, do you know that you said this idea and it helped me and my whole life developed as a result of that? And go and thank them. There is probably, everyone in this room could probably find two or three things like that. Where a friend or a Rebbe or a sibling or an older guy in a yeshiva said something to you at somewhere along the line that they didn't even realize they said that phrase to you. Or they know they said it, but they didn't realize it had such an impact on you. And like for you, many times you've repeated that to yourself and it's given you strength. Or it's helped you in a certain way many times. And when you think about it, you think, you know, I don't even think they know that they helped me in that way. I don't even know if they know what an impact they made. And he says you should write a letter saying, I want to meet you because I wish to thank you. About something you did, when is a good time? And then they'll reply to you and say, oh, I don't know what you're talking about, but okay, you can meet at this time in this place. And then go up to them, if you can, face to face, if not, FaceTime. But see their reaction, you need to see their face. And then you meet them and you say, you know, and you tell them the whole story of what they mentioned, and that they may remember, they may even not. And you say, you know, that's made a big difference on my life and influence, and you give a few examples. Real practical examples of this happened to me and I remember that phrase that you said, or this happened to me and I remember that what I saw you did over there and it was influential for me, and you just express that. It transforms both you and them. It develops in you Hakaras HaTov, that you recognize all the good that you have. It also helps you recognize like what an influence you could be on others, and it helps them recognize I'm worth something. So many people out there have benefited and they're not even aware of that. They don't even feel that self-worth that they have. And they feel like, I'm okay, I did some things, nothing great. But then one time, one person comes to them and says to them what a difference they made. It makes, or if that person says it, probably a few other people did it as well. And Baruch Hashem, I did something good in this world. Recently, I went up to someone and I said, I want to thank you for something you did. And I mentioned what they did. And they go, oh, I've done something good in this world. And this is a person who's like 65 years old, right? And like, and his mindset is, and he's done a lot of good in this world. He's like a professor in a university, and he's like opened up a whole course. He's done a lot of good in this world. I mean, you know, I don't know, good, but he's been productive in this world. He's done a lot of, and when I said this line to him, it made me realize that his view of himself is that I haven't done anything beneficial already. Because that was his immediate reaction. I've done something good in this world. See, meaning his thought about himself is, I haven't done anything valuable. He's raised good families. He's built homes. He's done wonderful things. But his self, and I'm thinking, why would he think that? Like, he's done so much good. But probably because no one ever came to him and said to him, you know, here's something that you mentioned that changed my life. And let me give you some examples of how it benefited. And so he doesn't have this belief in it himself, that he's made a difference in this world. That's a shame. That's a real shame. So one way to be happy for you and for others is to find that thing, Hakaras HaTov. Share it with them. It will enrich in your life just by you noticing it, and share it with them. So Bez Hashem will continue. But the point that he was just making there is the only way that you can truly express Hakaras HaTov to Hashem is once you start doing it towards other people. This exercise that we just spoke about, not only will it benefit you in this world in your relationship with other people and your feeling of joy in your own life, but then when you come to relate to Hashem and say brachas, which is the essence of the bracha is Hakaras HaTov to Hashem, you'll have the basis for it. That will be your inner emotion. That will be your way of feeling. And then when you come to relate it back to Hashem, you'll be able to do it. You can only relate an emotion back to Hashem if you have that emotion within you. So when you have the emotion of Hakaras HaTov deeply entrenched within you because you've said it to all these people, and it's a feeling that you live with, then when you come to say Baruch Atah Hashem, you'll say all the blessing comes from you, and you recognize the blessing of Hashem, it will be a genuine, authentic feeling. Because you are feeling that blessing in this world from other people, from that Hakaras HaTov that you had towards them, you'll also be able to have that feeling towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yisha koach.